Wednesday, August 7th. Psalm 91. Psalms 91 1-16, NKJV. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look, and see the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you, to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him, I will set him on high, because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him, I will be with him in trouble, I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him, and show him my salvation. Daily Deep Dive. The UCG Reading Plan states, Psalm 91 is without attribution in the Hebrew Masoretic text. The Greek Septuagint version adds a superscription saying that the psalm is of David. We should note a thematic connection between the previous psalm and this one. Psalm 90 begins with the words, Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Verse 1. This psalm begins, He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide, under the shadow of the Almighty, Psalm 91:1. Compare verse 9. The Zondervan NIV Study Bible refers to Psalm 91 as a glowing testimony to the security of those who trust in God. Set beside Psalm 90, as a counterpoint to the dismal depiction of the human condition found there, note on Psalm 91. The first two verses present four different designations for God, Elyon Most High Shaddai, Almighty, though perhaps meaning all-nourishing or all-sufficient, as the root shad means breast. Yahweh translated the Lord but meaning He is that He is, signifying eternal, ever-living or self-existent, and Elohi, my God or my strong one. These distinctions communicate various aspects of God's nature. Note in verse 14, that God sets on high those who have known His name. Not referring to Hebrew pronunciation but to understanding who He is and what He is all about, which His names help to reveal. Many people have been led to believe that there is a single sacred Hebrew name for God that must always be used when addressing Him, a doctrine that contradicts what the Bible reveals. For more on this, see the sacred name. Is a Christian required to use it? Dwelling in the secret place of the Most High, verse 1, recalls David's words in Psalms 27:5 and Psalm 31:20, which mention God hiding His people in the secret place of His presence within His tabernacle or pavilion. Abiding under the shadow of the Almighty, Psalm 91:1 is related to verse 4, and He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. This is a figurative picture of God as a mother bird sheltering its young, imagery found elsewhere in David's Psalms, Psalm 61:4. As noted before, the word for wings can also denote skirts or the borders of a garment, with the imagery of a man taking a woman under his wing as symbolic of marriage. See the Beyond Today Bible commentary on Ruth. It is likely that parent-child and husband-wife metaphors are being blended in these various references to show the great care God has in protecting His people. As the imagery is also blended with the idea of God being the defensive refuge and fortress of His people. Compare Psalm 61:3-4, Psalm 91:2, Psalm 91:4. Psalm 91:3 says God will deliver His people from the snare of the fowler, that is, traps laid by bird catchers. See also Psalm 124:7. Again comparing God's people to young birds. The psalmist goes on to explain various ways that God's people will be kept from harm. It is important to focus on this and hold tight to the scriptural promises here. However, we must recognize that while God's people have a certain promise of protection, this does not mean that no harm of any kind will ever come to them in this life. Note verse 7, where thousands will fall around you but you yourself as a servant of God will not be touched. This has often been the experience of God's people, just as declared here. But the verse does not say that God's people will never be touched by peril or death. Verse 10 should be understood in the context of verse 7, that when many around God's people fall, they will be spared. Here too, it is not stated that no calamity will ever befall those who serve God. The psalm itself points out that they will experience trouble in life, verse 15. Consider what happened to Job, David, Paul and others, and even to Jesus Christ, the quintessential righteous person. Verses 11 to 12 say that God has commissioned his angels with protecting his people, that they will carry you through life lest you dash your foot against a stone. So do God's people never stub their toes? That is not what is meant here. It does not say, so that you will never dash your foot against a stone. Rather, the point is that God's angels often intervene to protect us, sometimes even from seemingly minor harm. In the monumental confrontation between Jesus and Satan prior to the start of Jesus' ministry, the devil resorted to quoting scripture, twisting it to suit his aims. And he chose these verses among others to make his challenge. He told Jesus to throw himself from the pinnacle of the temple because Psalm 91:11 to 12 promised that God's angels would be there to catch him, Matthew 4:5 to 6. Jesus countered, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test," verse 7 NIV, quoting Deuteronomy 6:16, referring to the negative sense of challenging God's grace. Clearly, God's promise of protection does not mean that we may arrogantly presume on his favor, through trying to set the terms of how he must intervene for us by deliberately placing ourselves in harm's way. Besides helping us to better understand Psalm 91, Jesus' response teaches us something else about comprehending the Bible in general by his words, "It is also written." We should not base our understanding of a biblical subject on just one or a few verses when there are others that bear on the matter. Rather, we are to consider all of the verses that bear on a matter, and deduce the truth from the whole of pertinent scripture. With all this in perspective, let's notice more specifically what Psalm 91 tells us. Verse 3 does not say that we will never fall into an enemy trap or experience deadly illness. Yet we can take confidence that God says here that he will deliver us from these. Sometimes this means keeping us from them, perhaps most of the time, but it may mean rescuing us after a period of affliction. And at times, ultimate deliverance, salvation is in view. Even if we should die, God will later resurrect us to be utterly impervious to harm, just as he is. Verses 5 to 6. Do not say that we will never experience terrifying situations, disease or devastation, though he often spares us from these. But when these do come, confidence in God's care and his overall plan will help us to not be afraid, that is, to not live in fear. Even this does not mean that we will never go through doubting moments of worry and fright. Rather, the idea is that if we earnestly seek God, our lives will not be characterized by fear, but by faith, compare Psalm 4:19. In the concluding verses, God himself speaks within the words of the psalm, Psalm 91:14-16. Verse 15 assures us that he will answer our prayers and that whatever troubles do befall us, he will be with us in them, helping us to endure them. Moreover, we see again here that God will deliver us, verses 14-15, if not immediately then over time, and certainly when we are later resurrected to be in his kingdom. Long life and salvation in the final verse applies most fully to that future time. God often does bless his people with longevity and deliverance in this life, but consider that Jesus Christ, the most righteous person to ever live, died at age 33. The ultimate long and satisfying life is that which is still to come, in contrast to the brevity and sorrow of life today, as presented in Psalm 90. And,